a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources. Inside Sources. Utah's source for exclusive access and insights behind the news. Here's the opinion page editor of the Deseret News, Boyd Matheson, on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back, everyone, to Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. Great to be with you today. A lot happening as we rocket through the fastest 60 minutes in radio, and we are trying to divide the rage from the reason and elevate the conversation. And it's been fascinating to watch this morning, really the international focus of everything going on, from Salt Lake opening up the new international airport. We've also had our eye on Washington, D.C. at the White House, where the president has been presiding over a historic peace accord being signed between Israel and the UAE and Israel and Bahrain. And really pleased to have joining us now Miles Hansen, who is the president and CEO of World Trade Center Utah. And for those of you who aren't familiar with World Trade Center Utah, an amazing organization. They're dedicated to promoting prosperity across the state of Utah by doing a couple of things, attracting investment, but also increasing exports and really making sure that we have our eye on being that crossroads to the world. So first, Miles, thanks for joining us today.
Boyd, it's always a pleasure to be on.
And this is a great day to be on because prior to your coming to World Trade Center, Utah, you were the director of Gulf Affairs at the National Security Council inside the White House. So you have a lot of experience in the Middle East. Give us, before we talk local stuff, what does this mean in terms of these peace accords being signed at the White House today?
You know, it is exciting. And Boyd, it is days like today's where I miss just a little bit what I was doing back in Washington.
Yeah.
Because I had the honor and the opportunity to be at the White House helping to manage and build our relationship with several countries in the Gulf region, including the United Arab Emirates and also Bahrain, both countries that have bright futures, critical partners of the United States, and just full of wonderful people who are doing pretty innovative things in a pretty tough neighborhood. And so I'm excited to see the signing today. This is the culmination of a multi-year effort. And whether or not people support the Trump administration or are critical of the Trump administration, this is unquestionably a big day for the Trump administration and a big win. The president came in working to shore up our relationship with Israel, also to build stronger relationships with our Gulf partners, including the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, and this is a culmination of that effort. And I'll tell you, Boyd, over the time I was working there at the White House, of any region in the world, I'm not aware of any countries that the president personally spent more time investing in these relationships on phone calls, in meetings, through letters and text messages, everything else, than our Gulf partners. Which means that kept me busy, but also means that we built up relationships of trust that enabled us to move our partners to come together in a really historic agreement that we're seeing signed today.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. I love the comment this morning by Jared Kushner, who's also played a vital role in a lot of these negotiations. And as you said, Miles, the relationship building, he used the phrase, he said, in deal making, everyone's a no until they're a yes. And I think that especially plays true in the Middle East. Is that right?
Yeah, it absolutely is correct. And sometimes the darkest moments in those negotiations are right before dawn, right before you get to yeses. People are focused in on trying to get as much as they can out of a deal. And there's no question about it. This was a negotiation. This was there was horse trading involved. This was deal making at its finest. But at the end of the day, you know, Jared deserves a lot of credit. The Emirati ambassador in Washington, D.C., Yusuf Al-Okaiba, he's a close friend and he's an incredibly effective diplomat and statesman. You know, he was very much involved in brokering a lot of these deals as well. But it was deal-making. It was negotiations. It was a very challenging process. And so, again, credit is owed to everybody involved for getting the parties to yes and getting this deal done.
Yeah, so exciting. It's a good day. I think it's a good day. We've been talking about it's International Day of Democracy, where we kind of evaluate. And I think deals like this, while they don't solve all the problems of the Middle East, nobody's making that claim today, but it does create space for democracy to be strengthened, for freedom of the press and freedom of speech and freedom to gather. All of those things are expanded on days like today, and that has to be a good thing for freedom and for peace. And how much time and attention and treasure the United States has to invest in order to keep that those critical allies in the ballgame.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So there's definitely values that we share that are important in the region that we want to support those that also share our values. In the Middle East, there are a few countries that share all of our values. I think Israel would be one key exception in terms of a state that does share all of our values. The other states, it's a bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is we want to identify where we do have shared values, build on those, strengthen the relationship with the expectation that over time, the overlap between our values and their values will grow. Yeah. And then setting aside values, we just have straight up real politic interests in the region as well. And in across the region, we have very strong interests. We have a lot of interests in Bahrain, where we have, you know, our Middle East naval fleet is headquartered there. We have a lot of interest in the United Arab Emirates and, of course, in Israel as well. So as we strengthen relationships across these critical partners and allies in the region, that is a win for us on the value perspective. But just as important, it's a win in terms of our interests, especially as when you look at a map just across the waterway from the UAE and Bahrain, you've got Iran, and Iran has been creating a lot of instability across the region for many years. And as we look at the Gulf Arab states solidifying relationships with Israel, those set of countries are the best positioned to push back against Iran. And we want to strengthen our partners and allies so that we can work through them to provide security to the region and not have to bear that burden ourselves. And so these agreements, these relationships are going to ease the burden that we have to bear when it comes to providing security and free commerce and trade and protecting our economic interests in the region.
It's so vital. If you just joined us, we've got Miles Hansen, CEO of World Trade Center Utah, on the line. And he's been inside on a lot of these negotiations and these relationships that have been built that have led to really some historic accords being signed today at the White House. And I may make you write about that for us a little bit, Miles. That's some great insight and learning there that we want to make sure we share across the state of Utah and across the country. And now I want to bring it home just a little bit further. Of course, these things all have opportunities for Utah written all over them. And we had our first flights taking off from the new airport in Salt Lake City today. As you look at it from your perch at World Trade Center Utah, what do all of these things that are going on today mean for Utah, as we often say, as not just a crossroads to the West, but as a crossroads to the world?
You know, Boyd, I think about three projects here in Utah that are all generational opportunities, and they're all coming to fruition at the same time. You have the airport. You mentioned the first flight out of the new airport today. You've got, of course, the inland port right next door there to the airport, and also opportunities across the state, as well as Point of the Mountain. And there was a press conference yesterday, so that's been in the news. And in all these opportunities, we as a state need to make sure that we set our sights high. And like you said, Utah being a crossroads of the world, these are global opportunities. They're not regional. They're not state. They're not regional. They're not even national. They're global opportunities. And in that mindset and that perspective, then I think we have a great deal of reason to be optimistic. You know, we've been talking about some positive international news that has happened this morning. That's a welcome break from a lot of pessimistic and negative news we see around the world, and certainly a lot of the negative news that we see in terms of political discourse across our country. And yet here in Utah, we have these generational opportunities. We have one of, if not the strongest economies in the state, even despite or in the country, even despite the pandemic. We have generational opportunities. We have global leading companies, all of which suggest to me that we are in a position to lead out globally in a way that we never have before. And some people may ask, well, who cares? The reason why we care is because that type of global engagement, being able to be very aggressive, to go out into the world, identify partners and opportunities and help our companies to take advantage of those, is what's going to sustain and increase the prosperity that we experience here at home. But it's also going to have a leavening effect on our country and help support our ability as a country and as Americans to sustain the leadership role that we've played in the world, you know, for generations. And it will become increasingly important as we go into a period of time in our world history where we do see more nationalism. We do see threats to the international system in all of those.
Right.
Pretend that we may have some challenging years ahead of us. But here in Utah, we have great strengths. And as long as we build on those strengths and keep our sights high, then I'm very confident we'll be able to go out into that messy, challenging world and have a positive effect on other peoples and countries, while at the same time sustaining prosperity and strength here at home.
I love that's where you ended, Miles, because it's so important to recognize that this isn't just a Salt Lake City thing. It's not just a Wasatch Front thing. This is all of Utah. This could impact our rural communities in a big way, and it impacts the country as well. This is Utah being the crossroads of the world and really being a window in, window out, where people can see what a laboratory of democracy with strong free market economy, great institutions of civil society, and all of the things that you just mentioned come to bear to make things better for people, which is really the bottom line. Miles Hansen, always appreciate your insight. We're going to have you back real soon. We got a few debates to discuss, too, coming into the fall election season. But, Miles, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, Boyd. I look forward to it. We'll be in touch.
All right. Sounds good. And again, that's Miles Hansen, CEO of World Trade Center, Utah. And again, love his perspective. And I hope we all recognize what that means to us, what it means to rural Utah, and what it means to the nation when Utah leads out with a Utah model and really shows what can be done and how it can be done. Free market economy, civil society, and things where we've got neighbor helping neighbor in need. We've got businesses that give back to the community. We have strong faith groups, and we have volunteer organizations and a great workforce, education opportunities, and upward mobility for all is such a great thing and such an important part of the state of Utah and where we go moving forward. And all of that leads us ultimately to the individual and the individual search for meaning. We're going to help you find it. Stay with us. We'll come up next.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.